Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our scripture today continues our series on the life lessons that we find in the parables of Jesus. And today we're doing the workers, the laborers in the vineyard. And what I'd like you to do as I read this, and I'm reading a shortened version of it, think about which set of laborers you would identify with. Are you the people who came early in the morning or late in the afternoon? Which kind of laborer are you? Now, the setup comes from a question Peter asked. And Peter says, look, we've left everything and followed you. What then will we have? In other words, what do we get out of this? We were with you from the very beginning. What do we get out of this? What's in it for us? Peter wants to be prime minister in the kingdom. That's it. And this is Jesus' answer. This is the answer he gives in the form of a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like this. There once was a landowner who went out early one morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing to pay them the usual day's wage, a denarius, he sent them to work. 3 hours later, he went out again and saw some more people standing idle in the marketplace. Go and join with the others in the vineyard, he said, and I will pay you a fair wage. So off they went. And this is repeated at noon, at 3 o'clock, and at 5 o'clock. He goes out for more workers and brings them in. When the evening fell, the owner of the vineyard said to the overseer, call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with those who came last and ending with the first. And those who started work an hour before sunset came forward and were paid a full day's wage. It was the turn of the men who had come first, and they expected something extra, but were paid the same as the others. And as they took it, they grumbled at their employer. Those latecomers did 1 hour of work, yet you have treated them on the same level with us, who have worked the whole day long in the blazing sun. And the owner turned to one of them and said, my friend, I'm not being unfair to you. You agreed on the usual wage for the day, didn't you? Take your pay and go home. I choose to give the last man the same as you. Surely I am free to do what I want with my own money. Why are you jealous? Why are you jealous? Because I am so generous. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. What do you make of that? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Back in the days of the Depression, Babe Ruth earned a salary of $80,000 a year. $80,000. At the same time, Herbert Hoover, who was president of America at that point, received an annual salary of $75,000. Babe Ruth was paid more. And reporters asked him, You know, how do you account for the difference? Are you worth more than the President of the United States? And Babe Ruth answered, I had a better year. Patty likes Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt, I guess, is up for an award at the Academy Awards for his role in the Tarantino film. And we watched that for Patty. And we both agreed, you know, this was no stretch of acting ability for him. He was playing the same character he's always played. And that is sort of the jock who hasn't got a cue of what's going on. That's the character he often plays. He hasn't got a clue. He got, for the Tarantino film, he got $10 million, which is half his normal pay. And you know, it just didn't seem fair to me. I mean, what has Brad Pitt got that I don't have? Don't answer that. Tom Brady, who everybody either loves or hates, gets, I think, something like $15 million. But he gets all kinds of promotional stuff on top of that. But would you believe Judge Judy? $45 million a year. Judge Judy. You know, sometimes I'm envious. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm envious. And it shouldn't be a surprise that the disciples of Jesus were not immune to this emotion. And so we have Peter saying, hey, we've been with you, you know, Jesus, we've been with you right from the beginning. Don't we get a little extra? What do we get? What's in it for us? And Peter, especially, had been with Jesus right from the beginning. And he could say, you know, I've left home and I've left my job, my fishing nets to follow you. I've been with you morning and night. I've been with you during those healings and teachings and everything. I've been there right from the start. Shouldn't I get something a little bit extra over all these people who sort of have 11th hour conversion and come in at the last moment? Shouldn't I get something extra? And it's with this that Jesus gives the parable. And he says, now, there was an owner of a vineyard, and he went out first thing in the morning to the square in town, and he hired some day workers. Agreed on a price and everything, and hired the day workers. Then, just about every 3 hours, he went out again and hired more people, agreed on a just wage, and brought them in. And at the very end, at 5 o'clock, just as the sun is almost setting, he goes out and hires even more people. And then at the end of the day, he pays off his workforce. And the striking thing is he gives everybody the same pay, the same denarius. And the people who've been there slaving away under the hot sun all day say, hey, this isn't fair. We've been working all day. These people come in at the last minute and they get the same wage we do. That's not right. And the owner says, now, we agreed on a price, didn't we? I'm not cheating you. I'm not cheating you out of anything. Can't I do what I want with my own money? If I choose to be generous, isn't that my business? Don't be envious because I am so generous. What do you make of this? What's this about? I think, first off, it's important to recognize what this parable is about and what it's not about. This parable is about, once again, the nature of God and what God is about. The owner is God, the denarius is his grace, his love. Now, this is not a parable about how to run your business. This is not a parable. This is not, say, an article in the Harvard Business Review on the latest research on how to run a company. It's not Jim Collins writing on how to bring your business from good to great. Jesus knows you can't run a business this way. If you do, the result will just be chaos. But the owner is God. And the denarius is about his love. And I think, I don't know about you, but which group did you identify with? I suspect a lot of you with me identified with the group of laborers who came in first, who'd been slaving under the sun all day. Were you there? Trouble is, that's not us. We're the guys who came in at 5 o'clock at the end of the day. We're the guys who came in last. There have been lots of people working in the vineyard before we arrived on the scene. And we're the ones who received the wonderful, expansive generosity of God's love. And we have everything to be thankful for. That God even gives us that denarius, even though we come in at the last minute. There's an old sort of story or parable about a man who died and was waiting to get into heaven, and St. Peter was interviewing him. And St. Peter said, it takes 100 points to get in. And the guy said, I was baptized and confirmed and married in the church. And St. Peter said, 1 point. And then the guy said, well, how about this? I at one point taught Sunday school and I taught junior highs. Surely that must be worth something. 1 point. The guy was a little nonplussed now, and he said, but, you know, I tried to be a good husband and father, and I increased my pledge to the church 3 times. 1 point. St. Peter, and then he realized, you know, he said, the only way I'm going to get into heaven is by the grace of God. 97 points, said St. Peter. In you go. Okay. This, again, is a parable not about business and how to run a business, but about God's very generous love for us all. It's a parable about what God is like. At the same time, it does have implications for our daily lives too. And there's that line, why are you jealous? Why are you envious? Jealousy, envious, those envious comparisons we make between ourselves and others have no place in God's kingdom or in our daily lives. Have you ever sat on the bench when you were young, say in high school, and watched the ball game, the basketball game taking place on the court, and sort of wished you were the guy or the girl who was making all the points, and you were envious? I can remember back in college, I knew guys who didn't even read the book. They just read the table of context. And they wrote a critique of the book and they got an A. Never cracked the book. They got an A. And here I was struggling along and I was envious. There's a old Aesop's fable. And this is about a dog who had a nice bone. He was given a very nice bone. And his tail was up and he was going home with his bone. And as he crossed the bridge, he happened to look down. And he actually looked down and saw his own reflection, but he didn't realize it. What he saw was a dog down there that had a bigger bone than he did. And you know the mistake he made. He snapped. And as he snapped, the bone fell out of his mouth. And he was forced to go on home with nothing. Jealousy, enviousness. I think you know, there's something of that. It's a loose parallel, but there's something of that with Peter, too. He didn't realize he had everything to start with. You know, here he was with Jesus, with this tremendous person. He was with Jesus at breakfast time. He was with Jesus when he was healing the sick and teaching. He had it all. He just didn't realize it. He started making those envious comparisons. Am I going to get something extra more than these other people who have these last-minute conversions at 5 o'clock? There's, you know, the kingdom of God is being with the Lord. And it's something we can know right now. There's a story about Thomas Aquinas, who was a very prominent philosopher and theologian back in the European Middle Ages, still has a very deep influence on Christianity, Western Christianity today. And the story goes that he had a dream in which God spoke to him. And God said, you've written a lot of books about me. You've written well and you've written much. What do you want as a reward? And his answer was, nothing more than yourself, Lord. Nothing more than yourself. That's the denarius. The parable again, is about God's love and not making envious comparisons of ourselves with others. Being with God is that ultimate gift, that ultimate act of God's generosity toward us. Now today, you know, Jesus is here. And he's asking us, you know, come on. Come be a laborer in my vineyard. Come be a laborer in my vineyard. Welcome others who join you. Don't make those envious comparisons. But know the joy. Know the joy of God's very generous, expansive love toward you. You are accepted. Well, that's a parable. Amen.